Our friend Gene on the Run says, when my kids were young, our neighborhood had shot stations for adults. Does that count? Hey, Gene, if you want to count shots as Halloween candy, that is your prerogative. What's your address? I may swing by. Shots for the, hopefully for just the adults.
Hi, I'm Doug from Fartlicks and 5Ks, and I'm a big-ass runner from Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome to the Big Ass Runner Podcast, where we entertain and encourage trail runners from all over the world. Now, here are your hosts, Jeff Harrell.
Well, thank you, Doug. Excellent job on that intro. And as Doug said, my name is Jeff Harrell. This is the Big Ass Runner Trail Running Podcast, episode number 174. Great show for you today. In segment one, you guys have heard about the Love Never Ends trail race. We had Karen Sparks on. Go back and listen to that episode and hear more about Karen's very powerful story. Well, her race was this past weekend, and we're going to recap that in segment number one. Whether you were part of that race, maybe you did the virtual race, and a lot of Big Ass Runner Herd did the virtual part of it or not from this North Texas area. Regardless if you participated or not, I think you're going to really enjoy the recap. We're going to hear from a lot of different folks that were out there, and it is all about the community coming together, rallying around people. It's so very powerful. So you will hear from a lot of folks in segment number one. In segment number two, we're going to go into the Wayback Machine, as I mentioned on the last episode, and bring you a scary story. We are in fall. Fall weather is here. The leaves are changing colors. Football. Got a big football weekend, by the way. Fall is here, and so with that comes Halloween. So we have a few scary stories we want to tell, and we did this in season one. We're going to bring them back. And this first one in segment number two is from our friend Ashley Durston. You're going to enjoy that. That is segment number two. But first, last episode, Stephen and I debated a very controversial topic. That, of course, is the pumpkin spice / pumpkin spice latte. I heard from a lot of you. Very divisive. Doesn't seem to be a ton of middle ground here. And by the way, I want to clarify my stance. I'm not all the way in. I like the flavor, but I don't love the fact that the flavor has permeated into brake repair and toilet paper and cream cheese. I like the flavor where it should be enjoyed. Lattes, perhaps. Muffins, I don't know, a crunch of some pumpkin pie crunch, or I don't know, something in that. But when it gets spread too far, I'm against that. But in general, I like the flavor. I like the taste. Steven, on the other hand, doesn't like any parts of it. And it seemed, based on the feedback I got, that Steven and the people on that camp far outweighs the people that are in the pro PSL. In fact, I had several people say it shouldn't even deserve its own acronym. I agree. But seems like the anti-pumpkin spice crowd much more, maybe it's just more vocal. I don't know. Our friends at Blaze Trails did a bit of a poll, and it seemed, people were more in the middle than I thought. There were certainly those who said no and heck no. A few people that were in the yes, yay category, but it's very controversial. Hope you enjoyed that discussion. If you haven't heard it, go back to episode 173. But there's another controversy that I was made aware of this week, and I knew it existed because I've heard from many of you about it. And that, of course, is the candy corn debate. Again, this is one of those things, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of middle ground to be had. You either love candy corn or you hate candy corn. Our friend Sheila is in the love candy corn camp. And I heard from many of you who are in the anti can't stand it, worst thing ever made camp as well. I actually like it. I tend to fall in the with food and things. I tend to like most things. Maybe I need a more sophisticated palate. I don't know. But most people fall in one side or the other. I'm good with it. But it made me think, Halloween candy, what's the best? So I asked the Big Ass Runner Herd, what is your favorite Halloween candy? And I heard from a lot of you. And what I found, there were certainly some opinions about candy corn. But I found there's a wide variety of likes for Halloween candy. And I'm going to share those with you now. And I'll let you know if I agree or do not agree. Our friend Helen Hutton, she loves Twix. I am in the same camp, Helen. I love Twix. I think Twix are underrated.
And we all know that Twix is the only candy bar with the cookie crunch.
With the caramel and the crunchy cookie in there. I am in the camp of pro Twix as well. Our friend Casey, she's at Casey Tries. I got to see her this past weekend. Not candy corn. Literally anything but candy corn. You see my point? There tends to be no middle ground. And Casey is in the non-candy corn camp. Say that three times fast. Well, Burroughs Locos says never second. I didn't know what that was, so I looked it up. It seems to be a new nutrition gel for endurance athletes. I may need to try this. If this is something you enjoy Halloween candy-wise, I've got to give this a try. Never second. Well, our friend Gene on the Run says, when my kids were young, our neighborhood had shot stations for adults. Does that count? Hey, Gene, if you want to count shots as Halloween candy, that is your prerogative. What's your address? I may swing by. Shots for the hopefully for just the adults. Thank you for that, Gene. Gen X Gen. We're going to hear this a couple of times. She has a theme. Full-sized bars. Any of them. Yeah, when I was a kid, there was one house in our neighborhood who gave out the full-sized candy bars. And guess what we did? We hit that house several times. We didn't even change our costume. We didn't even care. We just showed up, knocked on the door, and time again, got the full-sized candy bar. I'm with you on that, Gen X Gen. Well, our friend Matt, is it Matt Eby? Or EB underscore Matt, candy corn. There you go. He's in Sheila's camp. Well, so is our friend Jay Stansel. Candy corn, especially caramel candy corn. Is that a thing? Caramel candy corn mixed with salted peanuts. Yeah, the sweet and salty combo. Strong to quite strong. Thank you for that, Jay. Chelsea Chronicles. She says, Nestle is an awful company, but those Butterfingers hit different. Yeah, I'm a fan of the Butterfinger, but here's what I'd say about the Butterfinger. It seems like they have a quality control issue because either they're light and, you know, you crunch right through them and they're delicious, or they get hard and kind of coagulated. I don't know what the word is. They get kind of crunchy and nasty and they kind of break apart. So you got to be careful with the Butterfinger. I feel like the QC on those can go either direction. But thank you for that, Chelsea. Well, our friend Caroline, she's at Cynical. Caroline says, anything that isn't candy corn. There you go. She is on the anti candy corn camp. There you go. Anti candy corn camp. Well, Heather, she's at Thirsty Runner Girl. This is the one kind of candy I am not on board with. Almond Joy. She likes her some Almond Joy. I'm not in that camp because I don't like coconut. It's the texture. I love the flavor. I don't like eating toenails. And that's what candy corn are. Not candy corn. And that's what coconut is. But I2RSJL, our friend, says Mounds. That's the same coconut without the nuts. Almond Joy has nuts. Mounds don't. Can't get on board with that. But I can get on board with Nick, except he says the purple bag Skittles. Love all the Skittles. Purple bag Skittles, delicious as well. Our friend Kelly, she's at Moonstone Kelly. I love those little stripy peanut butter bars. I know the ones you're talking about, and they are delicious. They're kind of the brown, darker brown, lighter brown stripe, and they are delicious. But I feel like they have the same quality control issues as Butterfinger. Sometimes they're crunchy and light. Sometimes they're hard and snap off your molar. But I do like the flavor. Moose Runs, our buddy Moose, says 100 grand. I'm assuming he's talking about the candy bar, but if it's the money, I like that too. Thank you, Moose. Well, Kim Scarlett, she's at Kim Scarlett Reamer, says the mini pack of Twizzlers. There you go. The Twizzler makes an appearance. I'm a fan of the Twizzler as well. Our buddy Runstoppable Mo says anything chocolate. I like chocolate, and I think I've said this on the show before, as the complimentary, not the hero. So Snickers, Butterfinger, Reese's. I like the combo. If it's just chocolate, like the chocolate bar, tight. Well, our friend Mike, he's at Fun Gosh Darn It, says Laffy Taffy. I like some Laffy Taffy. I like the banana flavor is my favorite. Some people don't like the banana flavor. It's the best. I don't know what's wrong with those people. Well, our friend Kim. Kim is at Endo the Run. She is Kim Endo. Campbell says butterscotch. I like butterscotch. Our friend Josiah, we'll hear from Josiah here in a little bit. Echoes what we heard earlier. Doesn't matter as long as it's full size. Ain't nothing fun about fun size candy. I hear you. Give me the large size. I'm with you on that one. Well, here's another Almond Joy vote from Chlishlarious. This is Stacy. She likes some Almond Joy as well. Well, you're about to hear from our friend Ashley Durston. She's at AZ Runners High. She likes the dark chocolate. And that doesn't surprise me because Ashley is a healthy eater. And I know the dark chocolate is actually pretty good for you relative to other candy. Not surprising. Thank you, Ashley. And last but not least, this is from Moho Runs Trails. This is our friend, Joseph Moore. Dots. Dots is his favorite. Well, what's your favorite Halloween candy? Halloween coming up, trick or treat time. What are you dressing up as? There you go. What's your favorite candy? Do you agree with any of the Big Ass Runner herd? Well, with that, let's get going on episode number 174, the Big Ass Runner. Soft and sweet. She's so fine, she can't be beat. Got everything that I desire. Sets the summer sun on fire. I want candy. I want candy. You know, there's some events that just are magical. It could be you have a great race, or it's just a fun, you get to see a lot of people. Maybe it's your first ultra experience. There's just some events and moments in life that were magical. And that was the case this past weekend for the Love Never Ends Trail Race. Our friend Karen Sparks, KDog77, is the race director. You've heard her story if you listen to the podcast. If you haven't heard that episode, go back. It is powerful. It is heartbreaking. But she is such an amazing person, has gone through so much, and is inspiring. I know I've got one of my running athletes that has been so, has gone through some tough things in her life and has been so inspired by Karen. And this race is in its second year, and it started off as a smaller race last year, as the first year, as you might expect, and really exploded this year. I think there were over 300 runners over three different distances. There's a 5K, a 15K, and a 30K. A lot of friends out there. We were fortunate enough to be one of the sponsors, one of many. She had some great sponsors out there. And I opted not to run just because of, you know, it's always something, got a little ankle thing going on, but got to see so many people, capture a lot of great content, going to share with you here in a second. But it was just a magical, magical weekend. And like I said in the open, whether you are from this area, were involved in this or not, did the virtual like our friend Moose did, I don't want you to hear, because you'll hear the excitement, you'll hear, you know, the ambiance, the noise around, it's just the community rallying around this event was really, really special. So let's hear from a few folks. This first one is me, just kind of setting up the event a little bit. All right, we are here at the Love Never Ends Trail Race. Lots of amazing activity, sponsors, energy, incredible cause. Supporting Karen and her Love Never Ends initiative. People are finishing the 5K right now. We've got runners out doing the 15K and the 30K. We will hear from some of those runners here in a second.
Yep, you can hear the crowds. You can hear the excitement. Lots going on. And ran into a lot of great friends that are either from the area or maybe came in for this event. And our buddy Josiah, he drove in super early that morning from Tyler, Texas. Let's hear from Josiah.
Oh, dude, I ain't even prepared for that.
Hey, we're here at the Love Never Ends Trail Race. I ran into my buddy Josiah. Josiah, how did your race go?
Well, I got third place, probably. Might have got last, but overall, it was a good race. Good race. It was fast and it was slick.
Yeah,
I had a good time.
So either third or last. You're not sure which.
No, but definitely not an in-between. It was one of those. I got passed a lot, and then I think I passed several people. I passed some people twice, so I could have been lost. Just kind of winging it, you know?
You know, that's part of trail running. You get lost, you pass the people, you get passed. It's part of the deal, right?
It was good fun, man. Good fun.
Well, good seeing you out here.
Well, Josiah, kind of like pumpkin spice and candy corn, either finished top three or last. He's not sure. There was nothing in between. Josiah, great guy. A lot of fun. He actually makes these really cool medal holders. If you not check those out, you need to. I've got one here in my wall. He made one just for the Big Ass Runner. I love it. Well, a lot of people, it takes a lot of volunteers to put on something like this. And we're going to hear from our buddy, Steve Anderson, who I saw bright and early this morning. Here is Steve.
We're here at the Love Never Ends Trail Race with the great Steve Anderson. Steve, how's it going?
Hey, it's great. I'm watching everybody run. This is a great cause. This is a great place to run at Orland Park. Love it.
Yeah, we're here at our home park, and Steve, you were out early this morning.
I was.
Serving. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I was out. I got the honor to do some parking, so I was trying to keep everybody from hitting each other. But, yeah, it was.
Were you successful?
I was mostly successful. I won't vouch for what happens when they leave. But it was a good time.
Yes, we were parking in a field. It's not normally a parking lot.
Correct.
And you were doing a great job directing traffic. Thanks for serving out here.
Yeah, I love doing it, and it's good to see you guys. Great to see the Big Ass Runner.
Good to see you as always.
Thanks, buddy.
Well, Steve is awesome. Great runner and serving first thing in the morning with the parking. So great seeing the community come together and serve in this way. That's what we love about the trail running community. It takes everyone different roles. You may have a role of serving on this race. You may have a role of running in the next race. You may have a role of pacing or crewing in the next one. That's what we love. Well, next you're going to hear from one of my running buddies. This is the great Henry.
You're up. You finished something.
All right. We're here with the great Henry, who just finished the, was it the 25K you did? What, 15K? What'd you do, Henry?
15K. We did the 15K. Okay. Yes.
And how'd it go, Henry?
It was fun. A new course for me, you know.
You've never been out here before, have you?
Never, ever out here at Irwin Park. But there's routes and all kinds of fun stuff. But no, it was a fun race for a good cause. And I met some cool people. Shout out to Maria and Kathleen and everybody else that I met out there.
And you met a lot of good people. Yeah. And you've got a new device that you're testing out. It's a hydration or dehydration, perhaps, device. How did that work out?
Well, not too good because I'm not that smart. But it's called the Nix Biosensor. And it tells you when you're supposed to drink.
So I'm good.
And when I noticed what I was supposed to drink, I was supposed to drink 13 ounces. And I tried, but I can tell you that's a bad idea. So I don't know. You know, it's a cool little new tool.
You're probably a free sweater like myself, high sweat rate, I'm guessing, perhaps.
Well, you know, and
13 ounces at one time is a lot.
Yeah, and this nice, cool Texas weather. I mean, it's surprising that anybody sweats out here.
That's true. Good point. Well, he's got a medal around his neck. It was a good day. You finished the race. Good job, Henry.
Yeah, well, you know, love never ends.
Yes, Henry trying out the new device. Waited too long to rehydrate. 13 ounces at one time. Hello, GI issues, perhaps. Well, thank you, Henry, for that, and thank you for your sarcasm. It was much appreciated. Well, next, let's hear from someone who just a couple of weeks ago had run a 200-mile Canadian race, but was out here towing the line in support of her friend Karen. Let's hear from Kathleen.
Well,
all right, I'm here with Kathleen. Kathleen, how did your race go?
It went really well. I had a lot of fun that last 5K.
And what happened in that last 5K?
Well, Kirsten had to go to the bathroom. Sorry, Kirsten. And I decided to take off, and I started passing people. And some people had fun. They were like, thank you. Like, this is the fastest I've ran. And they wanted me to go ahead of them, and I just kept taking off. It was fun.
You kept cruising. And you just did 200 miles, like, 3 days ago.
2 weeks ago today.
Amazing. And how did you feel? You did 200 miles 2 weeks ago. You did the 15K today, or the 30, the 15. How did it feel?
At first, my feet didn't know what was happening, and I was really scared I was going to fall down. I was glad I could follow Kirsten. But then all of a sudden, it's like my body knew what I was doing, and I had a blast. So
I love it. It seems like you always have fun at these races. So congratulations.
Thank you so much. Great to have you here.
I mean, there's just some people that just continue to toe the line, get out there, make it happen. And Kathleen is one of those people. Well, next we're going to hear from someone who actually won the 30K. This is our friend Kyle Buckley. Kyle's a great runner. He, man, got in the zone and absolutely crushed his race. Here is our friend Kyle Buckley. All right, I'm out here with the great Kyle Buckley, who just won the 30K, right, Kyle?
Yes, sir, yes. Yeah.
How did it feel?
It was good. It was great to be out here. The heat held up a little bit, got a lot of shade in there, so it was overall just a great day to be out here with everybody in the whole running community.
Well, when you're running as fast as you were, you get that natural breeze going, so it's a lot cooler.
It was nice. The uphills were a little struggle to deal with. I haven't done any elevation in a while, but as soon as we got flat, it was real nice to open it up and let that air blowing me in the face there.
Well, tell me about just kind of this general race. I mean, obviously great cause, supporting Karen. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, Karen, you know, I met Karen a few years ago and, you know, heard about her story, not until a few years later. And just, you know, what she's doing now is so incredible for everyone to come around as a community and support her in this event. It's amazing to see all these people, and I'll be here every single year.
I love it. Well, congratulations. Great job. First place in the 30K, Kyle.
Thank you so much. Good to see you.
Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate it. Yep, Kyle rocked it. He crushed that 30K, and as you heard him talk about, just being part of a race like this is so very meaningful. And so I want to save this last one. This is Karen herself, Karen Sparks, K-Dog, talking about, you'll hear the emotion in her voice, just the way that the community rallied around her in this event. Many of you listening that did the virtual race as well, just so very thankful. And I think this is what separates the trail running community from most, is rallying around people. And so here is race director for Love Never Ends, Karen Sparks.
You're good. We are here at the Love Never Ends Trail Race with Karen. Karen, what are the emotions right now?
Oh, they're high. They're just big. I mean, go big or go home. That's what, you know, Reagan and Grant. It's all about love and community. I mean, I just feel the love and the support all over this place with 350 live runners. We knocked it out of the park. I'm emotional on the inside. It's going to all come out later. But right now I'm just on this high with all these runners and all just, it's just a beautiful day.
You've done a phenomenal job. You had so many sponsors and runners and family and support. It's been amazing.
It has been, I'm speechless. and I have bacon in my teeth.
Because you're a trail runner.
I am. And thank y'all. Thank y'all. And here comes the second place.
She is here. She is literally putting medals around every runner's neck. Great job, Karen.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me, and thank you for being a sponsor.
All right, good job.
Love y'all.
Love you. Bye.
Thank you so much.
Well, I hope you got to hear the emotion in Karen's voice. She mentioned Reagan and Grant. Those were her two kiddos that she lost at the hands of her ex-husband. If you haven't heard the story, again, go back and listen. I think a couple of really special things that Karen did at this race. One is she had pictures of Reagan and Grant every half mile. So as you ran along, you really kind of were able to keep in perspective the reason that you're out there, the reason that you're out there supporting this. And she now has a passion to help moms who have lost children as well. And it's just amazing to see someone who's taken such terrible things, terrible circumstances, terrible heartbreak, redeem that, turn that around, put her heart and passion into helping others overcome as she has. So very, very inspirational. So thank you, Karen, for putting on this race. Thank you for us, for letting us be a part of it. And I know it's going to continue to grow each and every year. And next year is going to be even bigger. And this year was such a huge success. So congratulations. Hope you enjoyed that recap. And remember, when you're out there fighting and doing your training and things are hard and difficult, remember Karen and her story and how she has been able to overcome, because truly, truly, love never ends. Well, as this episode is themed a fall episode, we know the temperatures are getting cooler. And one of the things you need in your arsenal is an awesome running rain jacket. Jonji.com is the best place. That is where I have both of my running jackets from Jonji. They are fantastic. They've got a lot of other great trail running products as well, but I highly, highly recommend making the investment in a Jonji running jacket. Go to jonji.com. You will not regret it. Go check it out. Back in season one of the Big Ass Runner, we had a lot of fun telling some scary stories. And one of the very first, this is from episode 11. Gosh, it's 163 episodes ago. Hard to believe. For anyone that's listened to every episode, my apologies that you got to listen to me blabber on all the time, but this is an awesome story from our friend Ashley Durson out in Arizona. We're going to see Ashley get a couple of trips to Arizona here over the next year or so. Hopefully we'll get to see Ashley a few times, but this is a great story. So sit down, get comfortable, get yourself a nice hot cup of coffee, some pumpkin spice latte perhaps, and some candy corn, and take a listen to this.
Hi, this is Ashley, and I live in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona, and I usually run in the mornings because, number one, I'm a morning person, and two, it gets really hot here in the desert. And on this particular day I'm going to tell you about, it was in spring, and it was getting pretty hot here. And I was driving home from work, and it was overcast, and I love overcast days. I'm originally from Florida, and I enjoy rainy, stormy days. And I always have a gym bag in my car, so I decided to head to the mountains for a quick 4 to 5 mile run. I know the trails very well at the White Tick Mountains, so I planned as I was driving to run Goat Camp Trail because it's about 2 miles up the first big climb, so about 4.5 miles out and back. After changing at the restroom at the trailhead, I started my run. I was enjoying the weather, you know, and just doing what I love doing, running my favorite mountain trails. I get about 200 feet before the top, and it starts raining. I think, well, that's nice. I can't remember the last time that, you know, I got caught out in the rain. But then my phone started giving me an alert. It was a severe weather warning alert. And I thought, oh, you know, I have plenty of time to get back down to the bottom of the mountain. You know, they usually give you a little bit of time with these weather warnings. But as I reached the top, lightning started popping everywhere. And let me tell you, living in Florida, I've been caught in plenty of lightning storms. But being at the top of a mountain, that was scary. The echo and cracking sound vibrating all around me. I remember from childhood, when you see the lightning, you can count the seconds before you hear the thunder. You can kind of figure out how far away the lightning is in miles. And I couldn't even get to 1 second before I can hear the thunder. So it was literally the lightning was right on top of me. And that was so scary. I stood there going over my options in my head. You know, number one is, of course, to find shelter. But there's no shelter on the top of a mountain here in the desert terrain of rocks, dirt, and cactus. So the only other option is to run down the mountain. So I secure my electronics in my pack so they don't get wet, and I run down the mountain. Now, I'm at that 200 feet, you know, where it first started to rain. And the rain really started coming down hard. So hard, I'm thinking, ouch, this hurts, and it's getting really cold. And as if being surrounded by lightning wasn't enough, that cold, hard rain was, in fact, hail. It was hailing on me. The temperature dropped. It was wet. I was wet. It was freezing. And lightning still popping all around me. Now, if that wasn't bad enough, as I try to fly down this mountain, the trail fills with water flowing like a river under me. My mind goes to, oh no, a flash flood. I remember thinking, well, this is it. I'm either going to die from lightning or flash flood, falling off the mountain, or getting pummeled by hail. And I thought, I wonder what is going to be the worst way to go here. My mind was on this thought for most of the run, the remaining of the run, just really, you know, sad thoughts. My mind went to my family and I thought, hey, at least, you know, they'll eventually find peace, thinking at least she died doing what she loves. But I did, in fact, make it to the trailhead, and I was shaking. My legs and hands were numb, and I couldn't grip my car keys into the ignition. So I just sat in my car, and I thought, wow, I made it. And I immediately called my family, and I talked to my coworkers, and they said, wow, Ashley, you see that storm in the White Tanks? You know, lightning is all around up there. It's a crazy storm to watch. And I was like, oh, yeah, I know. I kind of got the front row seat there. So the mistake was, weather can be unpredictable. You use your gut instinct in moments like this, and I think that's the best way to go, is you just got to go with what you have in that moment. And if I didn't head down when I did, something worse could have happened. The trails were collecting with lots of water. Now, luckily, I made it down when I did. And it was a crazy trifecta of events, crazy memory there. And before I go anymore, on these overcast spur of the moment runs, I will always do a quick check of the weather first. That's where I take away from this whole event, is to always just kind of be prepared. And I just want to thank Big Ass Runner for letting me share my biggest trail running mistake ever made.
I can't seem to face up to the facts. I'm tense and nervous and I can't relax. I can't sleep cause my bed's on fire. Don't touch me, I'm a real live wire. Psycho killer, kiss your sick.
Well, believe it or not, that is the end of episode number 174 of the Big Ass Runner. Thanks to everybody involved in this one, to Doug for the intro, to all the folks who chimed in on their favorite Halloween candy. Is it Halloween? I don't even know. There you go. Where do you fall on the candy corn debate? Nasty, delicious. I know where some of you fall. Sheila, I know where you fall on it. Where do you fall on this debate? Also, thanks to everybody that allowed me to get a little bit of audio recording from the Love Never Ends Trail Race. Thank you, Karen, for putting on such an amazing event and for being such a great inspiration to us all. The trail running tip of the week, you heard from Ashley, check the weather. Don't get caught out in a storm. If you do get caught in a storm, have your jaunty running jacket handy. See how I did that? I worked in one of our great partners. And of course, a big thanks to the person that makes us sound so good, Steve Candy Corn Saunders.
I think I've reached a point in my life where I can tell the difference between nougat and cookie. So let's not just say things that we both know are obvious fabrications.
With that, get out there, hit those trails, and keep running your asses off. So with that comes Halloween. So we've got a few scary stories we want to tell. But there's another controversy that I was made aware of. So congratulations. Hope you enjoyed that recap. Check it out. You will not be sad. What? That doesn't make any sense.
The worst thing about Halloween is, of course, candy corn. It's unbelievable to me. Candy corn is the only candy in the history of America that's never been advertised. And there's a reason. All of the candy corn that was ever made was made in 1911. And so, since nobody eats that stuff, every year there's a ton of it left over. And the Candy Corn Company sends the guys to the villages and they collect out of the dumpsters all the candy corn we've thrown away. They wash it. I'll never forget the first time my mother gave me candy corn. She said, "Here, Louis, this is candy corn. It's corn that tastes like candy." This tastes like crap. And every year since then, Halloween has returned and I, like an Alzheimer's patient, find myself in the room. And the room has a table in it. And on the table is a bowl of candy corn. And I look at it as I've never seen it before. Candy corn, I think. Corn that tastes like candy. I can't wait.